We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Work's cut out for us tonight, fellas.
Can't wait to get out of this loser's lounge someday. What is up, everybody? Welcome into the loser's lounge.
I don't care. All right, that was a great game.
Wow, the energy off of this guy.
I did not expect that.
I'm buzzing. I don't even care that that didn't fall. What a great game.
It was a very good game, man. Right. It was a very good game. It was very close to being a great game.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was a good game. Could have been a great game.
It could have been a great game. I actually thought, as we were watching the live stream together, I thought, like, oh my God, the stars are aligning for us. Our first second screen experience. We're going to get a Jokic game winner. Like, everything is going to be perfect. But it just comes up a little bit short. The Nuggets fall 108-106. Go 0-2 in Memphis. 1-2 on the road trip as they fall. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Oh. Dev, how'd we do tonight?
We did pretty good. We lost the Nuggets win somehow.
That was a lock. Jokic went, that was a lock.
Jokic went crazy. You locked in Jokic.
I did lock in Jokic, too, so I won that one. I also locked in a parlay that was predicated on the Nuggets winning.
Yo, that every leg hit.
I'll tell you what. I think you got the, like, it was a good operation, but the patient died kind of thing. You know, like you really...
You did all you could, doctor, but we lost him.
You were right. It's just that, how were you to know Jokic would miss a game winner? It's literally never happened before.
I told you at the beginning of this fourth quarter, Jokic would end with 30 points. He had 34.
Yeah, you did say that.
I diagnosed this entire game except for the last goddamn shot.
Well, let me introduce the squad. I got Brendan Vogt over here.
Thanks for inviting me back into the lounge, guys, for the second loss in a row. Yeah. Thrilled to be here.
Oh, man. I got D-line here.
Am I supposed to be bummed out?
No.
I'm surprised you're not.
Be yourself, bro.
Listen, the bar was right.
Great
bar night.
The
vibes were good.
Great bar night.
The Nuggets showed me fight and resolve. We got a lot of bones minutes. Jokic was the king. He just missed the shot. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Dev over here, you as, like, optimistic and silver linings.
I mean, there's some things that were positive, especially like a team going down by 20. This team going down by 20 to Memphis, who seems to have their number. But also just like you said, the resolve and battling back and getting back in the game and making it a game till it comes down to the last shot. You have to tip your hat to those type of games.
I think this was a game of big extremes. Because the bad parts of this game were frighteningly bad.
Yeah.
The first quarter?
The first quarter was frighteningly bad in how ineffective Denver was on the offensive end with their starters. I mean, this was a game that started out, you know, as you mentioned, Dev, they were down 20 points in the first quarter. They end the first quarter down 18 points. It was like, we're not talking like just earlier this or that. They were down 18 heading into the second quarter. And this was a game that featured two rage timeouts in the first 4 minutes from Michael Malone. That's how bad of a start it was. But with that came, you know, Michael Malone calls a rage timeout. He benches all of the starters but Jokic. He basically says, all of you guys, puts the bench in there. That actually didn't work. But then when you re-brought the starters back in, then they looked good and everything started to go. Where do you want to go with this? Where do you want to start? Bad stuff, good stuff?
I mean, I guess big takeaway is negative. I mean, the room for margin is so small for the starters because the bench isn't going to do you any favors. And in fact, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping they keep their head above water. The starters did not play well tonight, but that's that cushion that doesn't exist. Look at the margin of victory. Think about those first 5 minutes. If the starters come out and play their typical brand of basketball, they probably win this game. But having said that, it's also unfair to put it on the starters because they should be able to get away with 5 minutes of suboptimal play as at least as of right now, Denver just can't do that. The room for error is pretty small.
Jeff Green tonight, 9 minutes. He was a minus 13. Faku, 14 minutes, a minus 8. Man. Dozier played 19, was a minus 11. So your bench, again, you got three players in the double-digit negatives. But the flip side of this, I think the Bones Highland, like, slow play is over. I mean, tonight he played 21 minutes, which was the most of anybody off of the bench. He was a plus one. He ends up going 4 of 8 from the field, gets 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in those 21 minutes. And I just think it's over. Like, okay,
yep,
we've done this. I think Michael Malone would love to slow play this another 2 months. I really do, if he had any option. But I think it's pretty definitive now that it's not just a, hey, you can do this and it's the right way and go slow. It's like, hey, we're going to lose a lot of games if we don't just start playing this guy in the rotation.
He just jumped multiple people. And I feel like this is the change where you get to see it. And it takes bad play from the other people that he was in competition with. And now he, you know, Austin Rivers is no longer in
nowhere
the rotation.
To be seen, yeah.
I mean, Marcus Howard was very, very early on. He jumped him very early. But then Faku has, you know, a tough game and he's given them negative minutes. So it's like we gave you guys a chance, but we went to our rookie and now we're not seeing those negative minutes. We're seeing a spark in ways that you guys did bring us at one point in time, but right now it's not working. So like, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say Bones is playing, like, excellent basketball or anything like that. But just having that spark and being that guy that they can just count on and he looks comfortable in the settings and he's not getting attacked the entire time. Just having those positive moments, I feel like he's now a part of that rotation and that was the change and adjustment that they've wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Bones was an immediate spark plug. The question coming into the season was like, is he going to be ready to play? Like, I mean, regardless of what his stats are or what he shot, what he scored, like, you just look at that guy, like, that guy belongs on an NBA basketball court. Like, he not only belongs, but he looks different. Like, he had a level of intensity and, like, a level of speed that, like, frankly, none of the other Nuggets had when he came in. It's a bummer. Like, it's tough because, you know, we have to go through and, like, figure out, like, why they, you know, the starters had a terrible stint to start. Yep. The bench had a terrible stint in the third quarter to give up a 13-0 run.
Right.
If you want to come down
to one thing, like, even with the 20-point deficit, the Nuggets, with 30 seconds to go, have a 10-point lead.
Yep. Yeah.
30 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Yep.
They give up a 5-0 run to end it. They open the fourth quarter immediate, like 6-0 run or 7-2 or something like that, to where you're up 10 and 60 seconds of game clock goes by and you're all of a sudden down one and you think, you just came back. You swung a 30-point swing basically in two quarters. The second and third quarter, you swung it from down 20 to up 10 and then to lose it like that and say, okay, no, it's going to be an absolute dogfight. And again, your margin for error is this thin. And tonight, what was the margin for error we're talking about? Jaren Jackson Jr. goes 5 of 9 from three.
So, like, what?
That's really good. And look, he's a good player. He's good enough that he's going to have nights like this. And you want to create a big enough margin for error so that if he does, you can still win. Tonight, they got sunk by that because they didn't take advantage of those little margins.
The way that they closed out every single quarter tonight was, like, pretty much the momentum and backbreaker for them. First quarter, they're down 20.
Yeah.
So at the half, you know, they have a run. Ja Morant finishes it with a 360 spin. Third quarter, they gave up that huge run that, like, just altered the game completely, and then you lose the game on the last play of the game. So the way that they're closing out, like, it's huge, like, as far as trying to, like, that margin for victory and that error, like, that vote brought in up earlier, it just makes it very difficult for you to win games if you just can't get anything going and you're just trying to catch the momentum the entire time.
And that was my point, that run from the bench or lack thereof to be expected at this point. So of course it's on them, but just trying to highlight what happens when the starters don't carry their weight as well the whole game.
I know, but it's funny. Then what's the result of that is that the Nuggets were 1 inch from sending the game into overtime.
Well, that's the starters are really good.
They are really good. They're really good at basketball.
That's a big part of it. So.
Jokic ended up in the minus today, which is pretty rare for him.
He did?
Well, you know what's funny? Here's kind of a funny thing about it. What is the difference in this game's rotation from last? He played with the bench his first stint by a lot and was pretty bad. So we talk about that bench unit. This is one of the things I've been preparing people for. It's not a Bones is going to fix it. It's not a Barton's going to fix it. It is so bad that no one player can, including Jok, it turns out. You give Jok four bench players, and they also get to a huge deficit. So I think there's some real problems. But one positive is I think Michael Malone also knows this and concedes it. Like, Michael Malone's always, let's give a chance, let's give a chance. I think he's like, that is an unsalvageable five-man group. It's really an unsalvageable four-man group, and the best I can do is probably play any three of them at a time together, sure. And that is the extent of it, and we'll have to figure out another plan.
You talked about how quickly it all happens, too. That's a big part of it. I guarantee you, if that group was able to play defense and both teams are now slogging through those bench minutes, Malone's happy to give those guys more chances. But it's not just the lack of offense. It's that in a matter of minutes, they've bled points on the other end.
Yeah, like if you want to understand, like forensically, retrospectively, what Paul Millsap brought to this team, like basically the bench is the same as it was last year, but you swap Jeff Green for Paul Millsap or vice versa. And now the bench is inept and they are can't stop anybody. They cannot get rebounds. They look lost most of the time. We're always talking about the stagger. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Like, Jeff Green has really yet, outside of the one Uncle Jeff chant that we got that one game, like, he's really yet to be a positive on this team at all. I think
he's been a disappointment. I mean, let's just say it. He has been a pretty big disappointment. And Michael Malone, again, you can see it in the minutes. Jeff Green tonight, nine minutes. Jermichael Green, 8 minutes. Like, Michael Malone even, I think, is kind of at a, these guys, it's just not getting the job done, and we have to go elsewhere for it. Let's shift gears here and go to some positives, because there are a couple positives. Okay. We mentioned Bones, and I think we'll get back to him. We'll circle back. My biggest positive tonight, personally, was that Aaron Gordon guarded Ja Morant. I'm going to go ahead and say he shut him down. Now, if you look at Ja Morant's lineup, you're going to say, well, I don't know. Ja Morant was a plus five. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 of 16 shooting. That's by no means a bad night.
First half.
But Aaron Gordon, when he moved on to him, Ja Morant couldn't get anything. And the reason Denver was able to get back into this game was Memphis had to find another way to win. Yes. This was like if somebody shut Jokic down and it's like, okay, who else is going to step up tonight? It was Jaren Jackson Jr. It was Desmond Bane. Those guys had it was Kyle Anderson. Those guys ended up having great nights. But Ja Morant tonight was I don't feel like I'm saying too much here, Dev. You correct me if I'm wrong. I think he was locked up tonight by Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, for Malone to, especially this early in the season, to give Aaron Gordon like the look to go after a guard for the entirety of the game. I'm curious to see if it was Aaron Gordon's decision or if it was, you know, Mike Malone's. But I think it's great just to put himself in that situation where you get a look at that. Like, you know, you don't know if you're going to see them later on down the line, but just to get those reps early on. But also, Ja Morant had to work for every single thing that he got tonight. Like, and he's making all of those adjustments and great passes and very tough finishes. But, like, that physicality, you could see that it was wearing on him. He's not making free throws. He's not shooting the three ball. He was on the island for most of the night, and he did well. Aaron Gordon just being as tall as he is and being agile and able to stay in front of him, that's not something that Ja Morant sees, you know, every single night. So I think that just having that, you know, change of pace or just a guy that's just going to make you work harder than everyone else, that was a game that Memphis shot 47% from the three. There goes the difference there because, you know, if they don't shoot so well from three, that's a game that the Nuggets win easily because that was the part of that big run. So I loved Aaron Gordon's defense tonight.
We're touting a game plan win if things go a little differently because you just said they forced Memphis to go to plan B, which was Jaren Jackson Jr. from three. Again, talented player going into tonight shooting 31% from deep. Like, those shots are not a given for him. And Denver forced Memphis to take and make some tough shots. Credit to JJJ for doing it. But again, just the margins, especially in the regular season. And I've learned this a lot doing this show. I mean, if Jokic's a three to end that game, we're sitting here talking about the adjustment from Malone and Aaron Gordon at halftime.
Right. And it was. And I think you can look at the successes even in a loss and say, like, the thing about Aaron Gordon was we talked about he guarded Bogdanovich really well. He guarded Luka incredibly well. He had some – when he got some wings, he did a great job. But we haven't seen him guard guards that much. There was, of course, the game last year in the playoffs where he gets switched onto Damian Lillard, and he does a great job in, like, a short stretch. Yeah, yeah. But this was the longest I've seen him guard a guard and really have success. And Ja Morant's not the easiest. If you talk about – oversized guys trying to guard quick guards. Like, Ja Morant is as tough of a matchup as that gets, and he did a great job.
Oh, you did it on Dame Lillard.
Lillard's really tough, too, but Ja... Lillard's good because he can shoot. He's crafty, this and that. Ja's so quick.
Oh, for sure.
He's just a tornado.
I just mean, like, it's remarkable. Like, yeah. what he's able to do, like, how... just dominant he really is on defense. Like, it's crazy. The fact that you can, I mean, you could really put him on basically 1 through 4.
I wish Denver had one more of him. And PJ Dozier is the guy that I think has the best chance. And he even had spent some time on Ja tonight and did a very good job. He's the one guy that I would love to get up to snuff on the other areas of his game so that you could kind of count on him there. But
that block.
But he has, but Aaron Gordon was just absolutely fantastic, fighting around screens, challenging him, just everything he did. And then, by the way, the contrast between, I don't want to be too negative on Michael Porter, because look, guys, everybody knows my opinion on him so far this season. He's been incredibly frustrating, including tonight, although to his credit, he rebounded tonight. He tried to do some things, but the chemistry, what I was going to get to with Aaron Gordon, his chemistry with Jokic has really just taken off this year. Those two guys are working together really well, especially given Gordon's limited offensive skill set.
Sure.
And you contrast it to Michael Porter, who Jokic seems to have almost no chemistry with at this time, and it's just a stark contrast. But Gordon, I feel really good about Gordon's future in Denver because of how quickly he's kind of gotten to this point.
It's a really great point. I think the two biggest positive takeaways, the three biggest positive takeaways of the season so far, Jokic looks just as good, if not better, probably better. Aaron Gordon really looks like he's thriving in this role,
yep,
and that he gets the role. And Will Barton's got his lift back. And those three things are important. By the way, we're talking about the margins in the narrative and what we're talking about after the game. We are so close to talking about that massive effort from Will Barton. And I'm sure we will
anyway.
We haven't
even got to it. It'll come up next. But yeah,
they won, it's all we're talking about right now. So... I actually, like, some of the really important stuff that you need to see, you're seeing it. And there's stuff you don't hope to see. And there's stuff you need to see from Porter that you haven't yet. But for me, there's hope in that, okay, that's some stuff that can be cleaned up. In the meantime, I'm very encouraged by some of these areas, and Aaron Gordon's right at the top of the list.
Yeah, you're right, man. Like, imagine if MPJ starts to look like MPJ again, like, the Nuggets become a juggernaut. Like, there's enough good going on around...
They're close
margins, and we were expecting everybody expecting Michael Porter Jr. to come in and like really pick up where he left off, maybe not from the playoff, but from the end of the season into this season. He was the favorite to win most improved player. Like, he just hasn't been it yet this year. And if he starts to do that, be that, like, I mean, we're talking about the Nuggets going on a big winning streak.
They are one Michael Porter away from all of the games they played in so far being wins. I mean, literally that. Like, I know it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you take one thing and you lose another. But, I mean, him knocking down shots is obviously a huge momentum breaker. By the way, tonight you even saw a lot of possessions where Memphis decided not to put their best defender on him. Instead, elected to put their best defenders on Will Barton because it's like, hey, man, he's not really involved in the offense in a meaningful way. So somebody stick to him, this or that. And that's a new shift you're seeing. Why don't we hit our first break, vote? On the other side, I do want to get to Will Barton's night because, to your point, I do think you can start to count all of the things that are going well. And Will Barton having a huge bounce back game and looking like he did tonight is definitely one of them.
Well, let's talk about Breckenridge Brewery and that Mile High City Copper Lager, that Denver Nuggets-themed can, that beautiful, sleek blue can. Look, the Nuggets are going to turn this thing around, and when they do, you're going to be one of sipping on that lager. It's delicious. If the lager's not for you, if it's not just to your liking, it's not the only beer they make. They make lots. Check out the Breck Beer Locator. Check out all the little flavors. They got them listed. Tell them what you're looking for. Tell them where you live. They'll tell you where to go. And last resort, if you can't figure it out, just come on down to the DNVR bar in York and Colfax. We got delicious Breck brews on tap, plus member-sized beers, member-priced beers.
Holy smokes. Tonight was popping, by the way. We had a doubleheader, Avs and Nuggets, and it was... Well, it was popping.
It was popping.
There's the Breck brew ad. I've never not been able to find that before. Farmhouse is still open from 12 to 8 p.m. If you're interested in ordering delicious and booze and food from the farmhouse, do it. Call 303-803-1380 from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. for pickup. Use code DNVR, that's us, to save $5. Let's see, what comes after that, Reed? Oh, I don't want to put you guys to sleep here, but it's time to talk about snooze mattress.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. It's good to be so boring to begin with. What a great segue always.
It's so hard on my phone. What is the snooze flip? The snooze flip is one of the most universal mattresses on the planet. You can customize your sleep experience to fit your needs. One side is soft, one side is firm. You can flip it to the side that fits your body test. They ditched the flip it, bop it, spin it, pass it read.
Do you remember that one?
I think that was me. I think I am the reason that they got rid of that.
No, but this thing is great. You know, the new like door-to-door delivery for mattresses has been a thing. Yes. They have their own proprietary mattress. They created this one. Their own scientists created this one. And like you said, this time you get one of each. Like some people like the soft, some people like the hard. You got it both and it comes right to your door.
And that's the stress in mattress buying. It's actually a pretty hefty investment. And you're sitting there going, well, wait, was this exactly what I wanted? Is it what my partner wanted? I mean, now you can sort of find it all with
this
new flip.
A flip true it, bip it, bop it.
4-in-1 mattress. Flip it, bop it, pass it. When you're part of a snooze sleep, you're part of a community just like the DMVR community, a community of go-getters, hustlers, athletes, entrepreneurs, people that need to energize their bodies so they can wake up amazing the next day. Listen, we're not telling you this for fun. We're telling you this because we have a code. Use code DNVR and receive $250 off a mattress and $250 off with adjustable base. That's the deal.
This is an incredible deal. Honestly, like, I know I've got some, like, dads and moms tuning in right now.
We got dads on this panel.
I mean, you know, dads on this panel. This is why I'm saying it. I relate to the dads here. This is the thing.
This is dad corner.
I think it's just him.
Christmas right around the corner. If you want to know a great gift you can give to your, like, irresponsible 20-something-year-old who would never buy them a mattress. Honestly, it's like an investment in their health coming up. This would be an incredible gift idea.
And that's it. We're back.
All right, we're back. Want a quick little housekeeping, guys. We did our first ever second screen experience today, and I thought it was A+. If I were to give it a great A++. It was such a fun time. We had, it's a beta testing application that we were using, so we can't let just open it up to the public just yet. Although I think in January we will start to do that. But if you are a DNVR member, or if you want to join on these, become a DNVR member because they're a lot of fun, man. I gotta say, it was it's something I envision us doing for years and years to come. What is Adam's eyes?
I don't know. I just made my favorite comment yet.
I see the love light in Adam's eyes. He says.
Oh, I thought I said I love the light in Adam's eyes. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Love light?
I think that you were feeling a little bit overboard about mattresses.
You got really excited.
Whoa, I see the love light right now. It just hit me.
Tell you guys what.
Oh, my. Flip it, dip it, pop
soft,
it, my man.
A little firm.
Terrible.
All right. Will Barton, guys, a bounce back game. I think he's had two bad games in a row.
Yes.
Kind of finding his footing a little bit. Now, here's an interesting thing. Barton gets benched along with all of the other starters and plays a lot of minutes with the starters tonight. And he looked great once again. Mm. I'm telling you, Jokic played with the bench tonight and his plus minus was bad, even though he personally looked good. I kind of have a feeling that we could be overanalyzing this. And this even includes guys like Faku, Jermichael, Jeff Green, Dozier. All of these guys have looked bad.
Yep.
And I don't know. Like, I think there's a scapegoat. Everybody wants to say it's his fault. Take this one guy out. It's the problem.
Right.
It turns out everybody that plays with any combination of those players, I think it has more to do with they are a bad fit and there's too many of them. That doesn't matter where you put them. But Will Barton tonight bounces back in a major way, 26.7 assists. He was fantastic. He was as responsible. Oh, king of the game. I didn't even realize we were going king of the game. 26 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists.
Brilliant B-Bucket.
A worthy candidate for it. You could have gone Yoke. You could have gone Thrill. You could have gone Gordon tonight. And I think all of those would have been acceptable kings of the games. But 26.7 assists, 3 rebounds. Dev, how do you break down his game?
That second unit just really desperately needs a score, like a guy to go through. And then it doesn't fix it, but it also like lets people play their role. None of those guys are guys that stand out in ways of give me the ball and I'm going to make things happen. Those are, you know, players that are, they're role players. They're second unit players. So then that gives Will Barton the ability to have the ball in his hands and make, you know, things happen because that is the type of player he is. Tonight was a night that he's hitting everything, and that's what it looks like when Will Barton is healthy. That, like, he said it, you know, multiple times, like, this is a year that I've been able to get my body back together, and I'm going to get back to playing like myself. And this is a Will Barton we haven't seen in, you know, 2 years because he hasn't been healthy.
Yep.
Springy, and that dunk really set up his night. That reverse dunk that we kind of just forget about because, you know, there was the comeback. But that was what got them sparked and what got them started. But also, they started running the offense through him. Everyone, like, you know, knew to get him the ball and get out of the way, and he's making great, you know, decisions. There's a few that, like, there was, a, like, a small spurt, but when he's on, when he's scoring, the Nuggets just look different because it gives them another option that they have not had this year.
That refresh my memory. That was the bridge to the first and second quarter, right, when Barton, like, really started going off? Was that
I think it was the second quarter. Second I don't quarter, think it was. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the bridge at all.
No, the first quarter was abysmal by bad. Absolutely right. Everybody.
So, yeah, so I think Barton's on the floor at the bench to start that second quarter, gets a little something going. Yep. Starters come back in, and he's thriving.
And some of it was heroic, to be honest with you. It wasn't like, oh, some things are really – the offense is humming. It was sidestep threes. It was just incredible finishes. It was a reverse dunk on Jaren Jackson Jr.
Here's the thing. I mean, people have been clamoring for – all right, so there's the macro scale philosophy of you got to shoot more threes and all that. But – also, within a given game, if it's not working, you have to adjust. Barton did take some threes tonight, but during that stretch, how confidently was he saying, I love when a guy just goes, F it, F this, I'm right. taking it to the rack. And he did that time and time again. You know, Barton's not a star, so he's not going to look this good every night. But when he does look good, this team just looks different.
Yeah.
Because they're lacking so many things when he isn't, especially without Jamal. And on a night like tonight, you go, okay, man, like, they can survive this. They've got another option besides Yoke.
Yeah. And I cannot be talked out of my take that the Nuggets all went out the night before the first game.
For like, Halloween.
Yeah, they looked ridiculous. Like, the last game, they looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
They couldn't hit any shots. They looked terrible. This was a well-played game outside of the first quarter. Like, and Will Barton looked like we always expect him to whenever he goes back to Memphis. Like, he wants to show out. And he was just in his bag, man. He was like full Hooper status. He was just going for it. His shot was pure. He was confident. He made like a couple like kind of like Barton-y kind of mistakes down the stretch, like, which whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna really fault him for it in general, but it is amazing. Like, he's just back. Barton's back, baby. It is a big deal.
But let me ask, the question I kind of referenced at the start here is, Barton goes with the bench unit and he looks terrible. He plays with primarily starters tonight. He looks good. Maybe that's – look, the sample sizes are so small that I'm not saying for certain this is what it is. But I do wonder, what is the healthy rotation right now for this team? Because you have so many guys that just seem to be, if not unplayable, difficult to play. Does Barton play a lot with Jokic? Does he play more with the bench? How do you balance this? How do you figure out this problem Malone has?
I mean, I don't know, and it speaks to your point, I think, that it's not just take one person out and put one person in. I mean, maybe some of this changes with Jamal back because he's a good stagger option himself.
But so many things work with Jamal back.
Of course, it changes a lot. I don't know. I just know, like Barton played 41 minutes tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it does seem that there's a lot of rescue jobs from Yoke and Barton, which we spent the preseason saying, you really hope you don't have to go to that so early. Right. You don't have to gas those guys. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I mean, I feel like Malone's hands are tied. Like, who's been the Nuggets' second best offensive player this year?
Barton.
So he's doing everything that he possibly could to put him with that second unit because he's their second best offensive player right now. There's nothing else you could do unless you put – like, you just make a complete shakeup to the lineup and you put multiple guys in that. But still, is that answering anything if you put MPJ with that unit? And I feel like at times – a lot of times tonight he did try that and it still was, you know, a negative. But I feel like Malone's doing that. Like, what we're asking for or what you want is to try to have someone else try to get that and spark it. It just so happens that right now Will Barton is your second best scorer. So you're not looking at it the exact same way of like, what do we do?
But either way, you're detracting from what's also your best combo, right? Which is those two together on the floor. So I almost wonder, I mean, I think a big part of this is that plan A was to have Porter be the just add water for offense with the bench ingredient. And of course, that's not a reliable option right now. And I wonder how different things would look, of course, if Jamal was healthy, but also if Porter was the offensive force we expected to see.
I think my favorite stat is, if I look through the box score tonight, my favorite stat is Aaron Gordon, 1 of 1 three-pointers.
Hmm.
Here's why. He knocked one down doesn't mean you got to keep taking them.
Yeah.
And he knocked a big shot down. It was a big three, but he didn't live and die like, hey, let's take another one just to see if I'm hot.
100%.
And even the 4 of 5 shooting, like 5 shots tonight, he knew what his job was tonight. It was to shut Ja down. He did it. You know, his offense was fine. You know, really, you just look at Monte Morris tonight goes 3 of 12. I mean, you look at, if you look at the three-point shooting tonight, 0 of 3 from Porter, 0 of 2 from Monte Morris. You know, you need just a, you just need one of those guys to be able to space the court just a little bit better, and you didn't get it from either of them tonight. I don't know what the answer is with that second unit. I think that one, the first part of this answer is Bones is probably a 20-minute per game player for me. He's really good. And I think even, Dev, if I'm reading you correctly, you're a little lower even on him. I'm pretty high on him. Like, as I don't know about his future. Like, sometimes when we talk about young players, it's like, oh, he's a star in the making. He just needs reps. I don't know if he's a star. I think he's a really solid pick-and-roll player, and pick-and-roll is such a big part of it. And more importantly, he opens things up. So the first step for me is I think Bones is a 20-minute-per-game player, full stop, no questions asked. And then after that, you've got to find somebody else on that second that you could throw on that second unit that opens it up. And I think it's probably a front-court player. So maybe it's a Monte, Bones, and
Vlack.
No, maybe, but I'm thinking more just like Michael Porter has to play at the four or do something else. And you got to count on him to be able to really dominate in that those stretches.
I'm not low on him. I'm just not there yet until I see those minutes come for him. And I really do
think guys are going to start going at him.
Yeah, and it's not even the going at him. I just feel like as any rookie, you're going to go through your spurts where it's just going to be a lot for you. So I just – it's not that I'm down on him. I really do think that he's a talented player, and he's, you know, the Nuggets' future as far as their guard playing alongside Murray. I just feel like right now if I'm too high on him, it's not going to do anything for me until he plays a lot of minutes and things like that. I guess it's hard to, like, describe it because I'm not high, but I'm not low. It's just kind of – I'm even,
dude,
and I'm just trying to
zone.
I'm waiting and watching to see what happens
it's
there.
It's okay. You don't have to be high. I'm high enough for everybody. I think he is going to be a star. I think he's incredible.
You think he's a star?
Yes. I think he's Dame Lillard.
Think he's a superstar?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's unbelievable. Like, I just watch him on the court. Like, we say this over and over. Like, the star players in this league move differently. Bones moves differently than everybody else. Like, he's got something, man. And, like, it's just going to be unlocked moving forward. Like, you watch a player like Desmond Bane, who Vogt and I were on the Bane train last year. We definitely want him to
my
be
drafted.
My only
good take ever.
It's our only good take ever.
He's really good.
And now, like, you see him. Like, we watched him play last year. He was fine. A year under his belt. Like, Desmond Bane looks incredible, right? Like,
oh, Jokic was fouled on the final play.
Of course he was fouled in the final play.
Oh, that's strange.
Oh,
that
my
doesn't
God.
Sound consistent
yeah, of
with
course
anything.
He was fouled. I just saw the replay. Somebody brought up. You want to bring it up, Kale? Do you have it? Can you share the screen? Here it is. So this is the play. Look at this. I'm sure everybody saw this before us. It's one of the things. Boom. I mean, come on. That's his shooting it. We were wondering. When as soon
he was
as
fouled in multiple ways.
As soon as he was leaving his hand, you saw the like that it was short. It was just like, oh, that's not going to make it there. And I was like, man, you never see Yoke miss shots like that where he was
right.
Where it was hopeless. Like, it wasn't even going to rip. You, if he misses, it's like it rimmed out, and it's just like the universe was on a will tilt.
Is that not?
That was just a foul. It's so annoying. I'm so annoyed now, guys. This lounge was a whatever. They're 4-4, whatever. Now I'm annoyed.
It's the outrage lounge.
It's the outrage lounge. What the hell is that?
So
that's the MVP of the league going up against the third-year player. He gets fouled. It wasn't even a hard call. My God.
Well, if we're going to start on refs, though, the out of bounds before that, like, was just...
Oh, Desmond Bane doing the salsa dance?
I mean, there was a wild travel where Desmond Bane hits a three. Then it's the Desmond Bane's out of bounds just basically shuffling.
I can't believe I didn't see that. It's one of the things about having to do this show right away is you don't get to see the things.
And then
the
it's like it's a blatant foul on the last play of the game where he's fouling him low first with the left hand grabbing him.
Grabbing on
then
the
he goes and smacks his whole hand
I'm
that he's shooting
now.
The outrage lounge is in session.
I can't believe it.
Do you want to make a call?
Let's write a
letter. I wish we could call the like, what report, is it, the pool reporter or whatever for the we need to talk to the officials and just be like, hey, guys, are you embarrassed?
The problem is the answer is no.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we don't really care.
There's like a million of these games.
We don't care at all.
Did we ever mention that you have to now subscribe to be a member of the to be part of the chat?
You have to subscribe to YouTube. I mean, this is the thing.
Yeah, you got to hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel if you want to participate in the very lively chat that's full of homies. Many of them are in the watch along with us tonight. Part of the community. Be part of the community. Hit that stupid subscribe button.
Yeah, you guys have to understand, like, you know, we would love everybody that watches and all of our stuff to become DNVR members. We know that's not possible for everyone, but there's so many different ways you can support the show. The by far the easiest way is to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Please.
You watch it every day, and still yet a lot of people don't subscribe to it. So hit now for every chat. If you want to participate, you have to be a member. And once you sign up, by the way,
YouTube,
you have to wait 1 minute. You have to wait one whole minute. I might change it to 5 minutes. Like, I actually might change it going forward to 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Because you don't want 1 minute for them to be like, shut up, D-Lo.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just waiting. Their subscription.
Like, some of the trolls might actually wait 1 minute before they do
just
it.
Just tell us to F off.
I might up that to 5 minutes before
I kind of like that, though, because now you're baiting trolls into paying us to troll us.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I would like it. You have to pay to become a member. That's maybe we'll get there eventually. I'm sorry, guys. I was fine with this loss. It was whatever, but now I'm furious.
Now I fear for Adams, the people in Adams' home.
How many free throws would Jokic hit if he went to the line for two free throws at the end?
Both.
No question.
He was 10 for 10 from
they
the
go
line,
to over.
Right?
They go to overtime. Who's winning this game?
The Nuggets.
I mean, come on, man. I'm pissed. I'm furious.
Oh, my God. It's outrage lounge.
It's a good reminder, though, about November basketball.
It totally is. This is, I mean,
hey, they still count.
Remember, oh, last November or whenever it was when we lost to the Kings twice in a row and it didn't matter.
Well, all right, yeah.
Didn't matter.
I mean, like, didn't matter matters, you know, there's still the bigger picture of, like, there's plenty of games to win and get a fourth or third seed. But, yeah, no, it's tough. In November, I'm more concerned about vibes. And we were robbed of some vibes tonight. Yeah,
that's so true. We were going to have some great vibes, man. Some top vibes, if you will.
My vibes are still pretty good, though.
Your vibes are obnoxiously good.
Yeah, I know.
Why is your vibe so good?
Did a Dixie special at Solace?
You know what it is that the Solace? Oppressive, overcast days have lifted. The sun came out. I was reminded of the things that are good in life. And you know what? I get to hang with the homies. Not you guys, but the people in the chat.
I'm really excited about that connection.
And you, bro.
Dev, is there anybody not in the rotation you'd like to see get a chance?
No.
Is this one of the problems with the roster construction? You've got Zeke Nagy, Bol Bol, Austin Rivers, Marcus Howard, Vlatko Chanchar collecting dust, but at the same time, you're like...
I'll change that because I really do feel like Zeke could actually like use some of the minutes that we're seeing with, you know, one of the greens at least one night.
If he was in for 9 minutes, would the Nuggets have been worse than minus 13?
The thing is, he's not like a negative player. He's on the court, like good things happen, and he also knows his role and he's playing within that role. Like, I just don't feel like he gives up a lot, even though that he's not scoring a ton. So I think that that's a player that can get more minutes. Also, just two greens at the same time, it just doesn't.
Dos Verdes, Los Malos.
This is Vlatko Erasure. I know he hasn't been healthy, so that's big, but I would try Vlatko over Jamichael Green ATM at the moment.
Jeff Green.
Whatever, pick
Jamichael
one.
Yeah.
But I would pick Jamichael right now.
You would?
To take out.
To take him out, yeah. I will say Jeff Green has been more frustrating to me than Jermichael over these last few games because his energy level has been
lapses,
so low.
Dude.
Well, we had the audacity of hope with him. Like we were looking like he was named by the
We had dreams of my father of him too. Like just like we just
and then the art of the deal. but we had to, like it was named by all of the executives that it's just the presidential books, guys. That so all of the executives named him like the top.
Every now and then you make a joke for the over 35 year olds.
All of my jokes are for the over 35.
I just pretend to laugh to the side.
But they all thought he was the best pick of the offseason. And he's been like unadulterated trash.
Oh, God. I'm so distracted. I can't.
I know.
Somebody just talk about this. All right, should we talk about Michael Porter? 12 points, 11 rebounds. The hustle was there. 0 assists, 1 block shot, 2 turnovers. He was a plus 7.
6 of 12 from the field, right?
He was 6 of 12. 0 of 3 from 3-point line. you know, Porter being a contributor in other areas has actually been a thing more often than not.
Yeah.
More often than not, he has been a guy. The chat.
Two green eggs equal ham. Just funny to, the two greens.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Eric. We'll check back in with you in a bit.
More often than not, you would say that Michael Porter gets a grade, a good grade, at least a B minus or higher on the other stuff.
On the other
rebounding
stuff.
Rebounding up.
Yeah.
But the part that still is just, can he find an open shot within the flow of the offense? And we're so far into this. Like, everybody else can find a shot. Like, this is the thing about it. It's not like you're struggling to get looks for anybody else. Like, Will Barton doesn't have a heart. Bones Highland checks immediately into the game. Having never played NBA basketball, he's able to get shots up. So, you know, that's the thing that continues. And I don't know if it's just – is it not worth talking about because it's so consistent now that it's just like – see last show for Michael Porter notes?
Yeah, I mean, like, the grades are – to your point about the sort of difference between what he's doing well and what he isn't – it's just been like a C-minus every night, like a straight D, if not F, from a shooting standpoint. But then I want to credit it from the other things. And look, I think it's been the same story, an inability to hit open shots, but then also to find open shots that you feel comfortable with. And I know some people are talking about Porter's touches or lack thereof, but I thought the first three games of the season, there was a real concerted effort to get him the ball and get him going. And there's only so many times you can go to a guy who settles for a poor shot or bricks the open one before you go, all right, we're going to try some other stuff. So I sort of get why they're in winning time, they're going away from him. But yes, more of the same story.
With MPJ, I mean, he's a shooter. Like, everybody knows he's a shooter. Everything about him has become a shooter. And that's what everyone thought he would be. So to see him be able to improve as a rebounder and, you know, try to lock in because he's not making those shots on the defensive end, those are like things that you got to look at as a positive right now, at least for the moment. You got to find some type of silver lining, but him having energy, him, you know, trying to lock in defensively, at least at moments, him rebounding, him as a help side defender and trying to alter shots, him being able to catch a ball, like, those are things that I thought it was going to take him a while to get. And with him, you know, lacking in one area, it built in the other area. So when the shot comes like back, and then he's also rebounding, he's also like a plus defender. This is like something that down the road will help him, you know, when the shot does return. And we all know that the shot is going to return. Like, he's having an abysmal, like, shooting, like, performance right now. But when that does change around, he's going to look like a more complete player. So this is a part of learning. Like, those down times is where you learn who you are. So I think it's not like anything to just be completely off of. Like, all of the comments about, you know, like, having the max contract and things of that nature, I mean, they don't do anything for you, but he will get through this.
He's a Spalding guy. It's not a Wilson guy.
That is a theory that I've seen going around. I don't think there's any way that has anything to do with it.
There are enough other guys struggling, but there's other places you can look to, like a change in the way it's been officiated, right, and all that. So
I think there's something about the Wilson basketball that allows MPJ to get square to the basket before he shoots, apparently, because that's not been he's just always he was doing this last year. He was hitting them, but like, He never just, like Dev pointed out, he just doesn't like set his feet and shoot the basketball. He's always curling around, and his torso and the top of his or in his legs are pointing in different directions. It's like, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't think it's the Wilson ball, though.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
It is reminiscent a little bit of Jamal Murray. You know, Jamal Murray being more of an on-ball player when he signed his big contract. He still has the ball in his hand, so even though he was struggling to score and he looked terrible, it wasn't like this where he would be sort of – he would disappear. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And in a weird way, the disappearance can feel almost worse than just bad play. Like, if he was shooting these same percentages but with, like, seven more shots per game, it would feel different. He'd be like, he's just in a slump. But the fact that he's not getting more shots is part of what's so concerning. I do wonder. I think, you know, look, the contract is also part of it, man. I do think there is a pressure that comes with you when you get paid that money, like we talked about. All eyes are on you. But whatever it is, you know, Denver's going to need him pretty quick here.
Yeah, I mean, it is getting harder to – having said everything we just said, it gets harder to ignore the elephant in the room for the morsels of hope. Like, you need the big part to come around. I don't know. I think Porter's also navigating probably the first ever stretch of his career where maybe he's figuring out some of the other stuff, but he can't hit his shot. And I just think mentally it's a weird place for him. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We have some Super chats. Let's get to some super chats. Kale, what do we have here?
Let's go.
The people who super chat in Losers Lounge are the best, man. They're by far the best. James, you're the best. You say, second screen was worth the membership alone. Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Hell yeah.
I loved it. I'm telling you guys, I honest to God, like, I didn't know what to expect. I was excited. I'm always excited to try different things. That went better in my head than I anticipated it going. Like, that was, I think that is a phenomenal thing. I can't wait till we do that for every single game, which I hope happens, you know, sometime this season. That's how great it was.
Harrison was good on that. I'm not going to lie. He was very prepared.
Harrison's always prepared. Yeah,
that sounds on-brand.
No, but he was really, really good at that. Like, it was fun.
You know what it also, is? You know what it is?
What is it?
He has hair like Marlo.
And the chin.
And the chin, the jawline.
They're too strong.
And moves like Jagger.
My goodness.
And moves like Jagger. And then I made a really good cameo, too. So, I mean, you guys can check that out.
You actually can't check it out.
I showed up and canceled.
You missed it. And so you just missed out. But it was a lot of fun. We appreciate everybody that hopped in. Ray says, MPJ's three-point shot doesn't fall because of the new Wilson ball. Question mark. So, Eric, you already spoiled his super chat.
All right, me and you, bro.
That's right. You guys have a little conspiracy corner.
Have they actually said what the difference is in the ball? Like,
there is no difference. It's just the name on the ball is slightly
that's it.
Different.
There it is. That's the
Are
difference.
Are we sure that's it?
You that's know how funny? Many letters.
You ever go to a basketball game dev just like with some buddies and like two people or three people brought a ball and they're all different?
Yes.
There's like, and you're kind of like, you're doing your warm ups. You're kind of like, you shoot one, somebody sends you a different one, you're like, wait a second, hold on. This is weird. It's a little more air in it. It's a little different.
Like the ball really does matter. That's why I wanted to know if there was like some type of change.
I mean,
first off, like those NBA balls, they're wide. Like it's tough for me like even get anything going with them. But I mean, if it's I thought there would be something else. Like, you know, like
I'd be so disappointed bigger. In Michael Porter if he came out and said it's the ball. I'd be like, come on,
hey,
bro.
I mean, others have
he has
right?
it. He has it. Has somebody? Who?
I feel like they've like talked about it, like at least the questioning
it. Really?
I think it was something like, because like CJ McCollum is like the new something, right?
Well, because Dame's struggling with the shot.
Yeah,
and like, CJ's the new.
That's a good teammate right there.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that meeting's about.
Yoke's probably like, yeah, Mike, it's real tough. I'm shooting like 90% from the field this year, but yeah, maybe it's the ball.
I don't think Jokic has ever the ball.
He doesn't
or the
even
rim.
Know.
I don't
does he have any idea that it's a new basketball?
No.
Honest question: does Jokic know that it's a new basketball?
Probably not.
No,
there's no way, not. Right? We have another one here from Addison. Says definitely check out the second screen. Made the watching the game so much more fun. Addison, an absolute homie.
The homie
for the shout out. The homiest, man. I'm telling you, I really enjoyed it. Let's hit our final break on the other side. I feel a breeze might be a coming. Jokic is about to speak, and then Harrison Wynn will be joining us.
I'm out.
You're out of here?
I just don't have it tonight.
You don't have it. Get out of here.
Yeah, you've been such a downer this whole show.
He's like, I feel great about this loss. My vibes are incredible.
I love when an accomplished and a talented athlete puts themselves to the test. More specifically, I love when they test themselves in other sports. I'm talking to you guys about the American Raptors, formerly known as the Colorado XOs. Same deal. They just rebranded. This one's here to stay. We've been telling you about them all year, but they're coming. These athletes are coming from backgrounds in football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, even track and field. These athletes possess all the necessary skills to excel at the game of rugby. And here's one of the best things about hitting up an American Raptors game. If you're curious about this experiment, it went well, by the way. They went 5-5 in their first season. Good start. These tickets are free. That's right. Free. Free99. Free.com. Head over to AmericanRaptors.com and grab your free ticket for the upcoming season. If you can't make the game, AmericanRaptors.com will also be streaming all of them from their website. Check it out. And if you do check it out and you like it and you're trying to stay in touch, no better way to do that than with the weekly DNVR Rugby podcast hosted by the homie Colton Strickler. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them wherever you get your podcasts. You guys know the deal. You know how it works. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, not just a basketball betting app. All the sports, including and especially football. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, baby. It's that simple. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same game parlays. Didn't work out for us tonight.
We did hit all of the legs of it, but the Nuggets win.
Unbelievable. We blame the refs, but if you're trying to rake it in with those
I do blame the refs. We should petition
more ref whinging. More ref whinging. People love that. But follow DNVR bets.
It was a game winner. I could complain about him missing a blatant foul on a game winner.
I'm with you. It's tough tonight. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Someone changed that read. Luckily, I know it, but I don't see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Finally, I am just thrilled. Any chance I get the opportunity to push Strava Craft Coffee on you? That CBD infused coffee comes in caffeinated, of course, but also decaf form. Check out their website. You can get 25% off your first purchase when you use code DNVR25. You can also sign up for their subscription service. You'll get 20% off every shipment. You choose what comes, when it comes, every 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks. Get what dosage, like what flavor. Strava Craft Coffee, CBD-infused coffee, leave you honking like a goose.
Alrighty, fantastic. I saw one more super chat there if you want to hit it. Kale, I saw one came in.
Who was it from? Webcam?
Get rid of a troll. Get out of here,
the troll.
Oh, is it the webcam person?
Yes.
A lot of hot singles in your area.
And they want you.
Oh, I don't mind those kind
of
trolls.
The homie Byron says he don't mind those. Hey, did you save the link to that?
Yeah. Forward that to me.
MPJ believes the earth is flat. It's totally the Wilson Ball playback rules.
I don't know if I follow that. But
that was three thoughts, random thoughts in a row, but we appreciate it, Byron. I want to read. Is Wind, are you coming in the chat here? Is it time for some Wind? The Wind is here. There it is. Whoosh. Whoosh. Wind chime. I love that. What a pro that you wait for the wind chimes.
I got to wait for it.
Before we get to your post-game commentary here, Wind, yeah. Can I run by something I kind of want to bring up here that sure. Maybe was spoken about in the post-game? Katie Wingy had this tweet out earlier. She says, Coach Malone talked to Jokic in detail, but Malone had the type of conversation with multiple Nuggets players, putting arm around the guy, checking in. I saw him do it with Will Barton, letting guys know he cares about him. But he says, Coach Malone had a long conversation. I'm trying to get to the part here where he said that he's worried. Okay, we're only 7 games in, and sometimes I look at him and I feel like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, talking about Jokic. He says, I feel like Nikola, because reigning the MVP and so much is being asked of him every night, I feel that I worry that he almost feels like he has to play perfect, not for us to win, but for us just to have a chance. We all know that when I take Nikola out, sometimes it's kind of like what's about to happen. I don't want him feeling that type of pressure. Malone clearly talking about a concern level for Jokic's workload and what's expected of him. I have to say, I agree. It is funny that he followed that comment up by pulling all of the starters out but him the first 4 minutes and saying, like, save it. He's like, I don't want you to feel like you have the weight of the wind on your shoulders.
But you also do.
I'm also putting it all on you right now.
Right. Well, that comment came at shootaround today, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And, yeah, it pretty much manifested in the first quarter of tonight's game.
Yeah. Not good, Bob.
Not great.
But, yeah, honestly, the big quote of the post-game presser had exactly something to do with that.
Okay.
Malone says this is what he told his team after the game, but this is the quote. Every time Nikola Jokic comes out, everything just falls apart. It's every night. I went to him in the fourth quarter. Remember when he subbed Jokic back in early? I called his name. He looked at me kind of like, already? And I feel for him. Nikola's going to be worn out by Christmas by this rate. It's unfortunate. So I've got to do my job, try to figure out how to help that group, that unit, mix and match, do whatever it is. We've got to be better when Nikola is not on the floor. It's been the story of the season.
So here's the thing. While I agree, it's also obvious, and I don't know that needs to be said. Like, Mike Malone knows what to say. He's really good at this. He doesn't say anything without thought, I don't believe. But if I'm Michael Porter, or if I'm anybody else on this team, I kind of hear that quote, and I'm like,
who does that help?
Yeah, who does that help? It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Who am I to question Malone? He knows this stuff. Like, he's proven this time and time again, but it is one of those ones where, from my perspective at least, I'm like, did that need to be said? But
I mean, it's not going to inspire a ton of confidence in the rest of the roster.
Michael Porter, it's pretty confidence boost, but if I play
reading
you,
between the lines, Malone's like, all you guys have been shit. Nikola Jokic has been at an MVP level. That's why we're 4-4.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, don't know about it.
I also think back to some of those LeBron Cavs teams, and it's like, yeah, there's some roster building stuff, but it's also this weird dynamic of Jokic is so good that why would you not build everything about being through him and around him, but you can cross a threshold where, like, you've almost forgot to reinforce, or I don't know what it is, but the other stuff doesn't come with it.
Well,
you know?
I mean, the two biggest factors are no Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter just hasn't been a threat.
Yeah, that's those
on the offensive end of the floor this year. Yeah. He's 0-12 on his last three.
I think the idea is more so around these guys are ultimate competitors, and they understand that he's out there giving his all. So it's like, hey, we also need to step up in some type of other way. So right. I think it's a way to try to challenge them, and not even only offensively. Like, you guys just do your job so he doesn't have to do everything for them.
Yeah. I think it was, or at least it's what Malone said, a 5-0 run for Memphis to close the third quarter, a 6-0 run for them to start the fourth quarter. Just absolutely killing his bench.
Yep. Michael Malone not happy with his bench for sure.
So, on the final shot, I know you guys saw the replay because I sent it to Kale. He got fouled.
I absolutely can't believe it.
And it's like, yeah, I wonder why his shot was just an inch short. Oh, because he got hit on the wrist. Of course it was going to be
an
inch
short. And he never misses. And we're sitting there going, man, I can't believe Jokic missed.
He always hits that shot. Yeah. Oh, I wonder why he missed. Well, he got fouled. Apparently, Nikola told Malone he got hit on the arm postgame. Malone said, I will live with Nikola taking that shot regardless of the result. 1,000 times out of 1,000, you've got the MVP taking a shot that is definitely in his wheelhouse.
Malone's trying to battle me for most love for Jokic.
Yeah.
But he's going to lose. I have more love for Nikola Jokic.
I don't know. Does your personal success live and die by how many minutes he can play?
Kind of.
This is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Our jobs might also be tied to Nikola Jokic.
I wish I hadn't said that out loud.
Yeah. Do you not understand the situation here?
Yeah, you're right.
The refs screwed us. That's what they did. They screwed us tonight.
Looking forward to the last two-minute report tomorrow.
All right, what else do we have? Yeah, like that's going to matter. Look, spoiler alert, he was fouled. All right, what else?
The Desmond Bain inbounds pass.
Yeah?
Michael Malone, quote, I didn't know Desmond Bain was a salsa dancer. He was on the sideline moving quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's such a
he was. Quote. That was an obvious travel violation, whatever
it's
the call is.
It's a weird call. I will say, it's a little weird if you were, I mean, the Avs just get us. I've scored.
Empty net.
An empty net. They final score minute. The empty net to tie it up with 1 minute left.
To tie it
incredible.
Up.
Incredible.
Damn.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go, man. This is
damn.
Incredible. All right, let's keep it moving. Yeah, Desmond Bates. So, yes, it was a travel. One of the best plays of the Jokic era, the Gary Harris game winner against Oklahoma City. This is the only reason I know this rule is because, remember, technically Jokic also traveled.
We don't have to talk about
so
that.
So it's kind of funny. It's funny because I'm sure Jokic learned that rule at that time,
probably.
Too, and now it's like he remembers it.
He was calling for it.
But they didn't call it then, didn't call it now, whatever.
Will Barton went to Malone and owned his what he called his worst game of the season Monday against Memphis.
God, I love thrill.
He owned the fact he didn't bring it. And Malone said he reinforced the impact that Barton has on this team, his importance, defense, rebounding, playmaking, scoring, his energy. It seems like the message was sent from Malone to Barton that, hey, he didn't say this, but this is me, especially with Michael Porter Jr. not being that guy, we really need you to be the number two option.
He didn't say that, though, that part.
He did not say that. That's me.
That's a wind inclusion.
That's me.
That's a wind.
Wind but that's me saying that. The Nuggets really need Will Barton to be that guy.
He's up for it, man.
Malone, of course, pulled the Stars in the first quarter, and Will went to him and was like, I want to freaking play. Like, put me back out there. And then Will responded with that great second quarter.
I love that, man. I love Thrill because he is a real one where he's not afraid about like there's nothing extra with him. You know, he would go to Malone and be like, yo, I know you're mad at me. I'm going to play. Like, right. I want
to
play. Like, it's just,
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Like, okay, you made your point.
Yeah.
I respect your point, but I just think it goes back to what we've talked about. We talked about it on the second screen, but just that's the confidence thing with Barton, the short memory thing.
Yeah.
Some of the same stuff that feels into like, whoa, maybe ease off a little bit on the gas pedal is just that same source, that confidence that allows him to play like garbage in the same arena two nights before and come out fearless and go for 24. It can be frustrating, but that's where it comes from. That's where it comes from.
Yeah. And then I talked to Will as well, and his main point, he didn't name anybody by name. He didn't call out the bench by name, but he was just like, we need more production from everybody. From everybody. And I mean, you know who he's talking about there. Like, some of the starters and the bench probably. He says he went to Malone and told him his effort was terrible in that Monday game, and that can't be the standard going forward. He was just bad, and he fixed that, and he felt like he did tonight. Will Barton playing in front of a lot of family in Memphis, obviously. His kid is there. He felt like he let him down on Monday, and he didn't want to do that again. It's always special to play in front of him. And then just on that Jokic shot, he said, we'll live and die with that shot from him every day of the week.
I love Will Barton so much.
Yeah.
Just love him, man.
Also firmly entrenched in the Yoke believer and supporter circle.
Oh, so into it. He's just real, man. And it's funny, his motivation comes the right thing. You know, like, it's always like an internal introspection with him, and I just love it.
Yeah.
Anything from Yoke?
I did not speak to Yoke.
Who else talked?
He might be talking right now. I'm not sure. Okay.
Well, the Avs guys are going to overtime, and then they're going to be right here. We might be the winner's lounge. I'm going to knock on wood. Cross fingers. We do have one super chat we want to get to. It's coming in right now. It's from Jose.
He says, that shit off the screen. Thank you for paying.
Is MPJ the next Gary Harris?
I appreciate you paying.
Yeah, wow.
I hope not. I really hope not.
Look, man, I think with Gary, I don't know what happened with Gary Harris. Gary Harris was always a guy that, like, kind of, you always thought he was, like, playing a bit above himself. He crashed so much below what any of our expectations were. With Michael Porter, I feel like we're scratching the surface of what his talent is. Yeah. For whatever reason, he is in this terrible slump right now as a shooter, but he's also in this terrible slump in terms of flow and figuring out where everything goes together. And I think, you know, it's weird. It's tough. Michael Porter is a weird, uneven player because his talents are so absurd and how unique and how great they are, but his weaknesses are also so absurd and how, like, overwhelming they are. And right now he's just going through it. I mean, look, this is part of the story. Great players, I keep saying this every time, but great players, they all go through these tough times and they come out better. Hopefully Michael Porter will be a guy that does the exact same. Tomorrow, fellas, tomorrow there's no DNVR Nuggets live show or podcast, but what there is the Keeping It 1000 podcast. Ooh. With George Karl. Texting with him earlier today, he has some takes, guys. He is ready to fire some takes up. Yeah, George Karl, never one to shy away from sharing his opinions. He's never not bold. So I really look forward to that. So tomorrow, I believe at 3 o'clock, we'll be live with George Karl, Keeping It 1000 tomorrow, and then we'll be back Friday for a live show ahead of Saturday's game. So that's the schedule for the rest of the week. Of course, Saturday is a home game with Houston, but if you're not going to the home game, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, be right here at the DNVR bar. Here's what happens on Saturday. 3 o'clock Nuggets game, 5 o'clock Avs game. You can be here for 4 or 5 hours. Whew. And catch a really good time.
I think CU also plays on
CU Saturday. Does also play, yeah.
Saturday.
It's a day. That is a long day.
Don't forget, become a DNVR member. We will. I'll probably have another edition, like a regular edition of the list that goes up sometime over the next 2 days. There was some interesting stuff. As we were doing the live show today, I was thinking, like, ooh, I'd like to clip that. I want to clip that. Oh, man. Another loser's lounge incoming.
Let's just end this podcast.
All right, we're getting out of here. Going home.
See you, everyone.
See you, everybody.
Guys, right now at Hassle Cattle Company, if you use the code DNVR10, you're going to get 10% off your entire purchase. Of course, that's at HassleCattleCompany.com. If you're in the area, stop by the DNVR bar. We've got Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef on all our burgers. It's super, super good. And again, if you're not in the area, check out HassleCattleCompany.com. Use the code DNVR10 for 10% off your entire purchase every single time. Not just a one-time deal, every single time. They've got everything at Hassle Cattle Company. Some of us at DNVR, we actually live off of Hassle Cattle Company purchases. Pull a bunch of friends together. Any orders over $200, you will receive free shipping. So check out everything they have to offer at HassleCattleCompany.com. Make sure to use the code DNVR10 for 10% off your purchase. And if you're in the area, if you're on East Colfax, if you're in Denver, stop by the DNVR bar. All our burgers are awesome, and they have Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef on them.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.